Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome in, friendos, to the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It's Bogman and the Welsh and more. We have special guests for Draft Forum 1.0. It's actually my favorite thing that we do. There's like some cool like breakdown episodes that we've done that you can go back and listen to on the podcast feed. You can go and check out Ranks Analysis, which is great. We'll talk about projections from time to time, all the fun things. But I love when we get into the draft forums and we get to talk to our friendos. We get to talk in draft forum. We usually bring on a couple people. You know what we started doing last year? We did this as well. I didn't even realize this trend. We've been bringing on like groups, like podcast teams.
The
we did
best last year tag like- team champions in the world.
Yeah, who did we have last year? We had like Spore and Mason, and there was like another podcast team. I can't remember. Well, we're doing it again, and we're doing it in style with two fantastic friends of ours. It's Bubba and Bloomfield. It's Bubba in the Bloom coming on here in just a couple minutes. They're going to be joining us in Draft Forum. It's a, you know, totality of draft conversation. We're going to be going through all the motions. We're going to do some player debates, talk about some of the biggest, hottest things that are going on. And I will tell you, we are currently watching the WBC. It literally started as we hit record on here. I have money on the game, and I'm getting a little bit worried so far what's going on. But we'll get to all of those things. So I'm very excited to have those two guys on. We do want to let you know that this episode is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Go and download the app today. It's easy to do. Use promo code ITL. Get a 100% match up to $100. You can also play with us. I also saw they've got a $250 best ball thing going on right now, and I kind of want to enter it. It looks like a badass contest. There's a lot of other cool ones. You can set up your own. Bogman and I, we're going to rock out with at least two more in March that you guys can come and play with us. So use that promo code ITL, and Bogman and I have the newest of giveaways we're doing this month. We're actually going to hook everybody up that signed up in February. We've got the Prospect One hat that is going to be given away. We're going to do that on a wheel. Well, we have a hoodie on the line. So if you use our promo code,
we heard a lot of y'all are getting snow. So
that's right. That's right. Well, I had snow, Box. I had snow out here in Arizona. But if you guys use the promo code in the month of March for the first time and make a deposit, let us know. And we are going to give one person away an ITL hoodie of their choice. So it's a pretty good little extra. Plus, you can play with us. So promo code ITL, do it today. Underdog Fantasy. There's a lot of stuff going on, man. WBC literally kicking off as we're recording this. Drafts season is going to start coming to a close, which is crazy to think about. And spring training is almost over in general. So I can't think of two better people to bring on than Ryan Bloomfield and KC Bubba. Let's just get right into this bad boy. Draft Forum 1.0 with the crew. Look at these gentlemen, Ryan Bloomfield, KC Bubba. Bubba, what's up, brother?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having us. This is fun. I really am looking forward to this game as we record live. So this will be good as we get some real, real fun in this deal. But yeah, thanks for having us. It's going to be awesome.
Ryan Bloomfield, you literally just ended drafting. I believe it was your Tout team, right? This is the Tout and Labor's going out at the same time. I think you just ended your Tout draft that you guys were live streaming on the YouTube channel. I was able to watch a little bit of it. I believe Bogman was trying to razz you guys in the chat a little bit, trying to screw you up.
Bogman is yelling in all caps, Diamondbacks right. relievers for me to target in the in the 28th and 29th round of my Tout Wars mixed. Yeah, we just got out of that one. So, you know, we're just not this tired is adrenaline at all.
You're,
going.
You're wired. Yeah,
we are wired. Go. And we cannot. I mean, we just keep going. Like, I can't say no to you guys. It's been a little while since I've been on, but
you could try.
We'll find you.
We will before the you. Before Tout, after Tout. We'll
yeah, 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 yeah.
We
yeah,
can't we've been around long enough. After. We've been around persistent. Long enough that everybody said no to us at least on once. One. Yeah, everyone said at least no to us once.
We want tag team duos. We got the tag team. That's what we wanted. We're recording later than usual, but we did it for you guys so we could have you both. So,
and really, we couldn't make up an excuse that we're not around because we literally were just in the live
stream. I was watching.
So, watching us. And yeah, we got nothing at that point. Yep.
I will tell you for all the great listeners out there that whoever buys the WWE game that's going to come out, you're just going to have great tag teams in the fantasy baseball world. And you got Bloom and Bubba, you got Bogman, Welsh, Spore, Mason. You just start creating all these tag DVR. Teams. And, yeah, exactly. You can rock all of those. Speaking of which, all of us will be in some capacity, if anyone cares. The Baseball Pods tournament is underway. And I will probably get tagged every single day now at this point. I think I'm only not involved in one bracket. But I got the tag in Rates and Barrels, which I don't really deserve to get tagged in. But, you know, like Fantasy Pros will be out there. ITL, Prospect One, give us vote. Literally vote for Bubba and Bloomfield every single time unless ITL in some
right.
way.
Up.
Then, I don't think we're in the same bracket together. I don't think.
Is there any possibility? Again,
we'll see. We were in Mondays.
Is Bench with Bubba?
Bench with Bubba comes up on Thursday.
Okay. Ooh,
is Bubba and the bat flip on there too? Like it'd be real awkward if all three.
I don't. It's Bubba the bat flip and Bubba the bloom. It's only two on there.
Did Chris do that? Yeah. One of the year last year, Chris decided to put Prospect One in this league in the same bracket, and I was like, that's not nice. That's mean. That's mean how you ended up.
Bubba the bloom and Bubba the bat flip are at opposite corners, so we could only meet in the end.
Yeah, exactly. So
I don't think our end will get that far.
we'll see how they all go. Draft Forum. This is just a collection of a lot of draft stuff we have spent. And I know there's some like podcasts out there that just kind of kicked off and that's cool going through all the motions. Bogman and I have been doing this since November. So we have we've given you positional stuff. We've given you rank breakdowns. We've done, I think we're on mock 10.0 this
10.0.
Week. We've done a lot of this stuff. So Draft Forum actually is like this happy little place where we get to talk to a couple people and we just get to go through all the kind of latest news, some of the draft strategy things that are going on, and we can do some player debates as we get further on. So that is what this entire collection is going to end up being. But, you know, I figured we start off, Bloomfield. You want to give us a little recap how that Tout went? I'm just still finishing up. I'm in Tout this year. I had to move leagues because I...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries. I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
In this league.
Break it down.
You know, wasn't able to drop everything and travel to New York to do a Tout, so I had to change league. So I'm unfortunately not playing with my other friendos, but I'm doing a draft and hold 50 rounds, I think, and we're in like round 42 or something like that. I've been doing it for 3 weeks. You got to do a live mix, and you just finish it up. Highlights, highs and lows, if you will, on your Tout team.
I would say the high was... I've been so NFBC centric, and I think a lot of podcasts and it was kind of standard 5x5. The high is like being free from ADP, and yeah. Welsh, as you probably saw this, like Tout is OBP, and so you kind of like you're kind of flying blind, which was really like a freeing feeling. You're taking your guys and not really worrying about what the market thinks, because really there is no market. That's kind of, I mean, I could go on about this, but that's kind of an offshoot of our industry. We have so many different formats and that sort of thing. If you're not like the straight standard 5x5, you're a little bit on an island. So,
and the advantage I got was I got to wait because it was a draft and hold. I could sit and kind of marinate on my picks. You did not. You had to. You had to fly quick. And
I had plenty of lows. One would be taking 5 outfielders in the first 10 rounds. So that hamstrung me a little bit later on. A low of getting sniped on Aaron Civale, which is like my guy this year. And it kind of brought up some discussion. Is it really a snipe after like the 20th round? I don't know if it is, but with the pick before me. And then, like I said, was diving in the barrel of D-backs relievers at the end. So I would consider that a low as well.
The fun thing with D-backs relievers is you can just like, it's kind of like a creative player in Madden. You could just come up with a couple names and you could just be like, Derek Finlay. And you're just like, oh yeah, that's a guy. He came out of Japan, right? Like you can just create names, Bubba.
You play politician or D-backs closer.
Sam McGuff, sounds nothing like his name. So
yeah, Scott McGuff.
Whatever, whoever he is.
Nebraska senator.
Yes. Bogman, who that video you just sent me on Instagram, I forget his name because I love him so much. What's the guy is it Nicki Minaj or is this La La Land?
Yeah.
Which lyric is it? La La Land or Nicki Minaj? But who's that comedian that I love?
His name. I know exactly who you're talking about.
We're going to have to figure that out. Yeah, that's exactly how Diamondbacks end up being. All right, so give me your couple favorite picks and your least favorite picks on the team real quick.
Least favorite picks, I did kind of a double tap of injured old outfielders, Giancarlo Stanton and Chris Bryant. Liked one of the two, but probably not both. Favorite pick, I don't know. I'll say Shohei Ohtani, the pitcher. That's another kind of wrinkle in tout. There are two Shohei Ohtanis. Got him, I think, in the third or fourth round. I think fourth round as my second pitcher. I think Ohtani, the pitcher himself, could be a top five arm this year. So,
that. Okay.
Bubba, the best part about taking Ohtani is you have to make up a placeholder name for taking him. And who'd I go with, Bubba? Jason Junk. That was my made up.
You know what the best thing about Ohtani is when he's one player that a system can work as both. That's actually the best thing when he's not two individual players. That's actually the coolest thing. But you know, that's so magical. Bubba, if you were picking apart Bloom's draft here, what would you do? Like what did you like? What did you dislike?
He didn't take MJ Melendez when I told him to. He didn't take Thyro Estrada, so his shortstop position is struggling. When I told him to, he's got Bryson Stott, which not the worst thing, but he even realized it goes all bad.
That's what I pivoted to when I got sniped on Thyro the other day. Yeah. That's the exact same thing that happened to me.
We've been preaching it. Shortstop, it's deep, but not the deep we're used to. It falls off and it gets nasty at a certain point. Otherwise, Bloom did fine. Bloom, the thing is with Tout is he can make trades, the waiver wire you can do. Like he's going to be able to navigate the minefields. But shortstop is going to be that, and he's going to be streaming catcher all season long. So that's which, if you're going to stream a position, stream catcher. Like you can do that for a buck every week, or there's $0 bids in Tout, so have fun. So yeah, he did fine. He got a lot of good in-game pitchers, starting pitchers, especially later in the draft.
What drafts do you guys still have left, Bubba? Like, what do you have still coming up? I know there's like industry stuff that happens and there's personal leagues. Do you have you already kind of like knocked out? And also in that same question, what's your mix between like real full leagues to like best ball draft and holds?
What I have left is I'm finishing up, you know, TGFBI and those ones we're doing. I have BARF this Saturday, March 11th in San Francisco. So that's going down. And then I'll usually do a couple OCs online for NFBC. And then other than that, I think I'm pretty much done. I'm always going to jump in something because that's what I do. But that's all I really have on the agenda for now.
What do you want to make sure, like you can give me a player or something, like is there something that you hadn't done in recent drafts that you want to make sure that you accomplish in BARF or maybe in the OCs? You didn't have a share of a player. You've been crappy, you know, putting together the construction of some type of roster. Have you thought about that?
I've been trying to be more willing. Like I did it in Tout. I took some Jordan Walker shares mid-draft like that, the Corbin Carrolls, these younger players, even O'Neill Cruz. That was one I actually talked about the other night on a show. O'Neill Cruz, I'm starting to find a reason to like a little bit more. like
trying not to be such an old man about
I'm a very safe drafter. I'm a very safe drafter. So I'm trying to like take myself out of my shell and take those chances that could help you win a league. It could also hamstring you. We know that for a fact, but it could give you that upper hand where, you know, the boring guy that goes 20 and 20, you know, homers, five steals is great and all, but what if O'Neal Cruz hits? And then you're like in the, so it's just one of those kind of things.
All right, Bloom, same thing. What do you have left? And what is the mix of like, you know, normal draft OCs and then something you want to accomplish?
Three drafts left. I've got Werf, which is the Western Expanse. Roto Fantasy is part of that Earth thing. So it's Pacific Pacific Northwest league next Friday. I'm doing the main event. I won a DFS contest last year and won a main event entry in the NFBC. So I'm doing that at like 11 Eastern the night before opening day, which I love doing. Man. It just like gets me going and then have the league that started it all, an ESPN family league that we started it back in 99. So my dad's in it, my uncles are in it, it's got cousins, my nephew's joining it this year. Wow. Passing the torch down to him, which is very basic points league format, doing the weekend before opening day. I would say
him
like
to start on ESPN. This is like a punishment for him.
I like ESPN, man, especially for points. Oh, it's not bad.
I think your internet just went out.
Okay. Well, there's one. We found one that likes.
Have you seen the ESPN rankings?
Well, but no, but here's the credit to ESPN, at least. The only thing it caters to is their generic points leagues that they point the ranks that they put out. But if you like Julio Rodriguez in the 40s or Acuna in the 40s, ESPN's for you.
The thing I'll say too is like I mentioned my nephew, a couple of cousins. Like, I mean, that's how I got into fantasy. I think that's kind of how they're getting into it too. Like, I don't want to just throw my man like 11 years old into a roto league, be like, yo, figure this out. Yeah. Like that's inviting.
You're like, all right, buddy,
give me $100
for the six quality starts. We're doing saves and holds. And I want you to get this. I know this can be tough. Net steals. We're doing net steals. Okay, buddy. Good luck. And you're just like, all right, I hate baseball.
So just figure out who has the best war and pick off that list. So
do the war league. All right. So whether it's the main event or whatever, what's a player? What's a strategy? What's a position? Is there anything that you're going to try to accomplish in Werf or the main event?
I think the biggest challenge is since I've done probably like, I don't know, eight drafts or so, is to not keep taking the same guy, especially early in the draft. Like I have a lot of Kevin Gausman. I don't want to just have Kevin Gausman on every single team. So I think it's finding out, and this is the problem of being a fantasy addict drafting in November, December, whatever, figuring out a way to, you know, not avoid my guys, but just diversify a little bit. In the bigger drafts coming up in March, that's going to be for me a challenge at least.
I was going to say, Boggs, don't you feel like so much is done? Like you're really adamant about this. This is a thing that you've always been really strong about. Is like doing your drafts closer to the season start. And if you really think about the numbers, if everyone looked at like everything that you've done this year, and if you guys only have three with whatever you've already done, that probably equates to like 20-30% of your drafting is done in the final week or two of the season. And I know that's just crazy, right?
Yeah, it's crazy, but it's where most of my money gets spent. So my main drafts, my focus drafts, the chance to make money drafts are my last drafts. And that's kind of the way I look at it.
I just like to have all the information I can possibly have. And I know everybody else also gets the same information. I get that. So, you know, when you're competing in an industry league, doesn't really matter if it's early or late. Everyone has the same advantage. But just if I'm in my regular league with my buddies or my family league or whatever, like Bloom's got coming up, I like to have all the information that I can possibly have going into that draft.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. And after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
I'll start off the first question, and Bogman and I will kind of rotate. This one I wanted to make sure we covered, and I put this on the list that wasn't originally there. I want to talk about Corbin Carroll, not just because I'm a homer and Bogman and I are homers or anything like that. I feel like Corbin Carroll has really kind of taken over the biggest draft movement in March. I think, you know, if we went back and looked in years, like there's what, 3-4 guys that get this like huge move in March. It happens over time. If you look out and you do the stretch, you'll see guys that get big movement from January to March. There's always a couple of those March players. And in March, Corbin Carroll is that guy. Corbin Carroll, NFBC just tweeted out, I believe it was today, that he went 54 and his ADP is moving in that direction. I think they might have had multiple drafts and the average was 54. So what I'm curious about, and Bloomfield, we'll start with you. What does the Corbin Carroll line have to look like to justify top 55? Because I think there's a ton of floor. I've got him in the 50s. I've had him in the 50s forever. So this isn't like new necessarily to me. But what does the line have to look like? Because I feel like the industry is still a little bit torn about the exciting upside versus what floor he can provide. So that is my Corbin Carroll line to you. Give us the stat line of what Corbin Carroll has to do to do it. And then, you know, if you believe that he can actually beat it.
Yeah, I think he's got to go. I mean, he definitely has to strike out less. And the problem with, like, I mean, Carroll, the main draw is the speed. And this year, I think stolen base targets it's a moving target. So like if Carroll steals 30 bases, how much better is that than the, I don't know, you know, how many guys are going to steal 20? Like how much better is that from the kind of MLB average that we're going to see in 2022? So I think for Corbin Carroll to make a profit in the 50s, I think he has to strike out less and hit maybe take that. He had 27% K rate, 115 plate appearances in the majors last year. I think he's got to get that average up to like, I don't know, 270, 280 to be able to do it and hit for a little bit more power. At least again, in the majors, we didn't see that power show through. So I think two things need to happen. Fewer strikeouts, more power. It can definitely happen because Corbin Carroll as a growth stock and a prospect is exactly what you want to see. But I don't know if he's like a stone cold lock in the 50s to return that value, especially, I mean, even if he steals over 30 bags, like, I don't know how much that gets you. It definitely helps, but I don't know how much that gets you over the average of a moving MLB average that's moving up with the rule changes in stolen bases.
Okay, so let's see what the line is. You said it's 270. If it's 270, 30 stolen bases, 15 homers, Bat X hasn't projected at 72 runs, 58 RBIs. I mean, what is it? Is it? I don't want to be putting words in your mouth, but is it 15, 30? 70, 60 with a 270 batting average? Is that you're saying that's top 50? That doesn't beat top 50, or that's what he has to do to return the positive value?
That I think that's what he would need to do to return. That sounds about right.
Okay. Bubba, same question. Corbin Carroll, what is the stat line?
And you said you're gonna try to get more of these young guys. Is his price moving too fast for you?
It is and it isn't. It depends on where I go, because I usually try to take like the Kyle Tuckers and Arias Reynas of the world and stuff, which would take me out of a Corbin Carroll of the world. But it's a lot of what Bloom said. Like I was looking at his profile when he came up to the bigs last year. Ground ball rate went way up compared to what he's used to, and the fly balls fell. He was showing some power in the minors before he came up. So I think the power is there. He's going to be 22, still super young. I think if you can get 20-ish home runs and 30 steals, you'll be sitting pretty because, you know, like the projections have him as 130 games. Let's say he plays 150 games. There's definitely a chance for him at leading off there in Arizona. He should lead off, I'm assuming, or somewhere along those lines.
Do you think that's returning value? Because to me, if he's 20-30, he's a first round talent. He's a top 15 player if he's 20-30. So
why do you say 2020?
I think it's all about.
I think it's all about the power, like Bloomfield said. The steals, they are what they are. We expect that from him. It's all about the power for me.
Last year in the bigs, it stayed up over 200, right? So
yeah, okay. But do you disagree with me? Like if he's 20-30.
He's a first.
He's a top 15 player. I think
that's what Bobby Wood Jr. was last year,
right? Yeah. So to be a top 55, like what does that stat line look like? Is it 15?
Look at Adelis Garcia last year. Okay. Adelis Garcia, look at his number. 2020-ish type guy hit 240, something like that. 250. There's your mid 50s pick.
Yeah, and I'm looking up adult. I think it was like 21-26. It's loading here on FanGraphs. It was a 27-25, 250 batting average. Good Lord. I forgot he had 101 RBI and 88 runs, but he'd still beat that. I mean, he's going 50 now, but I think what he returned last year was above top 50. So
it was, but like basically what you want from Adelis Garcia is Same thing you want from Corbin Carroll is what I'm trying to say. That's the guy you should compare it to.
So do you both buy the 50? Because you both made compelling cases of like, here's what it is. And you seem like you both kind of like him. But like, do you buy drafting him 55 in the next 2 or 3 weeks, Bubba?
Yes, I do.
Bloomfield.
Yes.
Come on, Bloom.
The decision you have to make is opportunity. I mean, opportunity costs at that point. Like you are passing on potentially your first starter. You're passing on a very scarce resource that is a reliever that has the skills and the role. So you just have to, you can get Corbin Carroll type players. I'm not saying Corbin Carroll himself, that type of player is available a little bit later. Whereas some of your number two, number one starters and closers are not available later. That's the only hesitation I would
have.
And
if we're talking about limiting risk, like Bubba said, like that's your risk, right? And you're pretty conservative after that, and that's an early risk. So I understand what you're talking
about. How about Adolis Garcia or Corbin Carroll, Bubba?
Oh, man. I have a lot of Garcia. I'd probably go Garcia. That's where the risk averse me comes in. Like, I've seen it 2 years in a row from Adolis. That's probably where I'd be.
Same deal. I've seen it twice in a row in the majors from Garcia. Again, you need to bank on that K rate from Carroll coming down in from his rookie year and the power to develop. And so, like I said, I've seen it from Garcia, so I go Garcia.
Okay, Bogman?
Garcia, you know me. Yeah, I mean, I love Carroll, but I'm like second highest on the planet for Adolis.
So. I have a lot of Adolis shares.
Yeah.
Okay. I also would say, I think if Corbin Carroll put up 12 homers, 20 stolen bases, 70-70 with a 270 average, I think that returns value. You know, I have to go and look. Like, I think you're close to return value on there because, like I said, Adolis Garcia beat a top 50 off of what he did last year. 12, 20, 70, 70 with a 270 batting average is a return of value. It doesn't give you upside off the value, but I think we all agree that Corbin Carroll has the potential to beat those numbers as well.
I think, and also there's kind of two different questions. Like, yes, that stat line would return the value. Corbin Carroll, from a projection standpoint, we're talking 270 batting average. He's 240, 250. By most of the projection systems out there, because again, of that major league K rate. So I think there is a difference between what we think he can do and if you told us at the end of the year what that line is, yes, that line would return it. Will Carroll get there? I don't know.
There you go.
What about Jacob DeGrom, guys? This is, you know, we talked with Derek Cardi about him, and Cardi is very risk averse, obviously does, you know, the bad X, the projection systems and all that good stuff. But he was pining for Jacob DeGrom and saying he's kind of the cheat code because he's going a little bit later than he should because he is the best pitcher on the planet when we know he's going to throw innings. Obviously, that's the risk. When you look at ECR out of 36 rankers, 5 have him higher than 20, but 5 have him below 40. Most rankers, the 26 others, are between 20 and 40. So where do you have him, Bloom? And how many times have you invested in DeGrom, or have you at all?
I have to quote a wise man. I know I would say I have 0 shares of DeGrom. I actually kind of famously passed on DeGrom in the labor mixed draft, who fell all the way to 60. Fred Zinke took DeGrom at 60 at the end of the 4th round, which even for me, I was like, man, that is tough to pass on. I have run the numbers on DeGrom. For DeGrom to return value on where he's going, according to my projections. And I feel like we all have a pretty good idea of what to expect from DeGrom on a per inning basis. He's got to go like 150 innings. And I don't think he's doing it. I think he's going like 110, 120. So that answers that question. It's just how many innings is it going to take? 150 is kind of your break even point.
Bob, how many DeGrom shares do you have, if any?
0 shares. Wow. 0 shares for me. And it sucks. Like, I've gotten really close to taking the chance, but then I just go, I'll take Spencer Strider instead. That's where I'm at.
At least you're taking some risk.
Yeah. And they're both risks. Don't get me wrong. Sure. I'm rooting for Jacob DeGrom. I just don't want to put my money behind the rooting factor of Jacob DeGrom because I just don't see how he does it. Like Bloom said, you need that 150 innings, and is he going to get there? I'd like him to. I just don't feel confident in it at all.
You guys just started a fight with Welsh. Welsh, you going to talk these pansies into some Jacob deGrom here? What are we doing?
Boom. I don't know if I'm going to be able to recover from you not drafting him when he was at 60.
You and me both.
It's a hard pill to swallow here. I would say one thing. I've kind of said this a whole bunch. Is like, it is, you can join the crowd and hate on Jacob deGrom, or you could be a trailblazer and you can be a supporter of Jacob deGrom. Like our friend Derek Carty, who said, hot take, he said this a day ago, Jacob deGrom should be a first round pick in mixed leagues, which obviously is like dramatic and stuff like that. But
hot take.
It is a very hot take. It's a very steamy hot take. But the thing around it, I think, is really interesting because the focus becomes like, okay, he's not healthy, he can't pitch. But off of 140 innings, he's...
Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to...
get your bag!
Two ways to peel for a chance to...
get your bag!
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to...
get your bag!
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Already an SP1, the SP1. Like, even off of that low projections, he's the best player in baseball, which builds upside on the front. Everyone just scared out of their absolute mind. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take those risks. I'm going to take those shots. I actually think it's cooled a little bit because leading right up to camps, everyone was like, you know, okay, Jacob deGrom, we're going. This happens every single year, by the way.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love
it. In this league.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's like DeGrom starts to like, we're further away from the injury. And we're like, okay, he is. We all know he's the best pitcher. And then what ultimately happens is a thing. And the thing was the day camp opened when I was there, he pulled something and he couldn't throw and he couldn't do this and that. We are about to see him throw. He's about to be in a game. He has, I think, one more session. I think it might be today as people are listening. And he's going to throw in a game. And it's going to change the perception up where he's going to cost a little bit more, which is going to give me a problem. But ultimately, I just don't understand why everybody has to pass on it when he is out there. He's the best player. The only argument against Jacob deGrom is he just doesn't stay healthy. That's it, which it's a big enough argument. It's kind of what happened with Byron Buxton. I just don't think... Yeah, no, it is. It's
availability is the best ability.
But like, this isn't Lance McCullers, where Lance McCullers is perpetually hurt and kind of stinky. Yeah. And, you know, he comes at like 140 and he never plays games. This is a player whose return is the best pitcher in the game. That's my only argument. I actually am with people with Byron Buxton. Like, you want to do Byron Buxton? He's not stealing anymore. Plays 100 games. Okay, whatever. I'm not going to like argue on it. You know, he's in the 80s. But Jacob deGrom is the best player at his position when he is out there. And I don't know why more people aren't tantalized by it. But the problem is there's always a person that's going to go really high on Jacob deGrom. I can't fathom passing on him in the 60s, but I understand the logic behind it. I won't do it. I'm a trailblazer, guys.
And I want DeGrom this year, but I'm in leagues with Welsh. So he's just a little higher on it.
Established the Welsh is a gambling man, so it's okay.
just to make you feel better about my money, this Welsh. In the league that I did pass on, he went at 60, so I passed on him in the 50s. There's unlimited IL spots, so he's not even taking a Let's put on your roster.
I was roasting. Man. I was roasting Bloomfield to take him. Like, I'd take him at those ADPs. I'm not taking him at like the two, like in the early second round.
I want. Yeah. There was a point in this offseason. I did not publish it. I had Jacob DeGrom as my number one overall pitcher. But then I was like, I was like, okay, let's work through this in here. Like, I want to have him in that range, but I'm sane about it. I don't want to have the crazy cost in it. I just feel like it's a similar argument to like O'Neill Cruz. Like O'Neill Cruz, like, do you guys think that O'Neill Cruz is a massive pass at, let's call it, what is his stupid ADP right now? O'Neill Cruz's ADP is 75 on Fantasy Pros consensus right now. Do you think O'Neill Cruz is a pass at 70, Bloomfield?
No, I don't think he is. I think that's a fine pick. There are very few, if any, position players with the power speed ceiling that Cruz has.
And with projections that put him as a first round player when we saw the, like, when Steamer came out and stuff like that. But he has different warts, but they're warts of the same size. He has huge, massive strikeout and swing and home issues in his game that we are building a lot off of a month. Yet that type, I don't know why I'm turning this into like a big defending Jacob DeGrom, because he's going to get hurt and everyone's going to tweet it.
Because we know
he's going to do it. But that's my thing, is it's the picking and choosing of these guys have these huge warts and we're like, well, that one's not a problem, but this one looks a little cancerous. This one looks a little bit of a problem. And Jacob DeGrom is the biggest one. Yet he is the only guy of all of the warts out there that can return the most value. The most
the floor is so far. I understand avoiding him. I get it. But I mean, we saw him pitch at the end of last year. Yes, he had the little thing to start spring. But if he throws in spring and he's, you know, on track to start, I am more than fine taking DeGrom. And, you know, maybe it's holding on by a string. But you said, you get
just like
you
his
get
UCL. 100. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. But you get 140 innings out of that UCL. And you're in a row.
I'll take the under right now, Boggs.
Yeah. And the fair thing, I mean, I remember Ariel said it last year. He's like, I'm a huge pass and stuff like that. And I get it. I totally get it. And there's a bigger thing. Like, Eno and I have talked about the, it's just that athleticism curve of what happens and changes in your body as you get older. Cause I look at Jacob DeGrom and I go, man, there's a 3-year stretch where he's putting up 200 plus innings, but there's also a clear line of dude hits 30 years old and things start falling apart. And we can all relate to that. And that's the question, is like, is this the longstanding falling knife, or will it break at some point? And new team, new context, I suppose, new regimen, working with Mike Maddux and Greg Maddux out here in camps and stuff like that. Can those things be a positive turn for literally the best pitcher in baseball? It's to be seen, and it is a massive risk. I guess I'm just always so confused at the lack of, I don't know, swinging for the fences that happens in the fantasy industry right now. And I feel like he's the biggest power swing possible, and nobody wants to do it except me and Bogman and a bunch of dumb idiots. And he's going to get hurt, and then it's going to be like ITL, LOL, LOL. So, okay. But wait, I feel like, Bob, I feel like you don't hate him as much as Bloomfield, or you're just a gaslighter and you would never do it, but you want other people to do it. I feel like you're gaslighting.
Not me. It's a price thing. Like I said, I'm good with it. Like round, like we're. I was literally on the live stream. Bloomfield, take him. Like, it's round four.
You were
DeGrom, and
I ignored you. I muted you.
Yeah, it's like a scorn.
Okay, you know what? Yeah. Game time. What? We're doing this. Hold on. This is game time. We're going to play a game of chicken, and the chicken is going to be Jacob DeGrom innings. The projections. Mm-hmm. I'm going to set the stage for. I'm going to give everybody the stats here. ATC and the bat are the same, 143 innings. Jacob DeGrom had 64 innings last year, 92 in 2021, 68 in 2020 in the shortened COVID year.
It's a full 200. That's a good run of longevity there.
2020 year is a good, that's a full season. He made 12 starts. That's full.
Before that, 2017 through 19, over 200 plus innings on both of those. So that's your baseline of what you're going with Jacob DeGrom. I'm going to open up at 80 innings pitched. We're playing chicken going four. Will anybody go 90?
90.
I'll go 90.
Yeah. Okay. We all go 90. 100.
I'll go 100.
Who's joining me on 100?
Yep.
Okay. 110.
I'll go 110. Already, I have my number.
Okay. 120.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Bloomfield's starting to worry me a little bit. All right. 130.
Nope.
Yep.
All right. I mean, if you, I was going to bounce on both of you if you said 1:30 and you weren't going to draft
then we would
them,
be all
that
in
is
on
where
him.
I'm. Like, yeah, that was where I was going to. Okay, so what? It's 1:25. You guys are at
1:20. Exactly. I've got him 1:20.
So okay.
So I could have said no at 1:20. I guess
Bloomfield and Bubba essentially are saying that Ariel Cohen is an idiot. That Derek Carr is an idiot. I would like this to be on.
Speaking of gaslighting, by the way, yeah,
the worst thing ever.
Who uses said Derek Carr is trash, and Bloomfield
hashtag
says
#ITL
that
by the Patreon. They hate all projections.
You're first.
I'm just all right. I just need to do all that.
Keep it on the show. Keep it on the show. The guys love me. It's okay.
Speaking of gaslighting, I'm pretty good at that. Bogman knows. I might be the number one gaslighter on the planet. Would you say that, Boggs?
You're not sneaky. You think you're sneaky and you're not.
I didn't say I'm sneaky. I said,
I know.
You're not Mr. Deeds at all. No.
So, I'm just saying. That's all right. Let's move on.
Quit talking about Jacob DeGrom. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, we did that. Well, I think it's important discussion. That's why we want to talk about a few of these guys here. It's very important to kind of gauge on where people should be at it. He's the ultimate risk. And in all of the risks that I will take in Corbin Carroll, O'Neal Cruz, if Bucks in them, I will 100% not stack them and I will balance it out.
Yeah.
You just have to figure out what is the point of risk that you want to take. Is it O'Neal Cruz? Is it a Jacob DeGrom? No.
Are we going in a risk Bucks tangent here?
Yeah.
So
maybe.
How many risk bucks? I don't want to do it. Let's go. Let's talk
I did take Carroll and O'Neal Cruz both in TGFBI though. I have the wildest team in there.
What a shock.
I'm gonna be at the bottom of the projection or be at the top. Let's talk about another risky-ish guy, I suppose. Bobby Witt. ECR in Fantasy Pros is 18. Which is also his Yahoo ADP, but in NFBC, he was going as high as 8. It's all over the board. CBS 21, Fantrax 29. He's a not 3-round pick in points leagues, as many will tell you. He becomes a wheel pick here and there. We talked about it with John Legeza, and really, I think this comes down to, do you believe in positive progression for Bobby Witt? Or is there a sophomore slump on the plane here? So Bloomfield, what's your take on Bobby Witt right now? Because it's kind of like the DeGrom stuff. It doesn't seem like a lot of people are willing to say that Bobby Witt can get better. And that's what's leading a lot of people to have him as a bust or not be willing to take him as a first round player. But in his rookie season, he was like a 20-30 guy, which is first round talent. So where do you think Bobby Witt belongs ultimately?
I think he's like a top, 15 maybe overall hitter. I do think. And Bobby Witt did improve, especially in the second half. Like the K, he made a lot more contact, ran all the time. So, I mean, there is that. There's obviously something to be said. Like John L would say that, this is a age 22 guy that we saw last season. I'm kind of speaking to the choir, Welsh, with you here. I think for me, it's just, similar to kind of the Carroll thing, it's just the guys you're passing on. For me, I'd rather take like a Mookie Betts, a Vlad Guerrero Jr., a Bo Bichette, Freddie Freeman. I just want that track record in the first round. And that's just the way that I've always drafted and the way I would. But I certainly like the power can absolutely, that's probably the biggest stroke against Bobby Witt is like you look at the Statcast power numbers and that sort of thing. It didn't look that great. But yes, he could obviously grow into that. This was a 22-year-old seeing major league pitching for the first time. But just for me, it's just like the names you're passing on, I just think are a lot more safer in the first round.
A lot of those agree, and I'm going to put a pin in one I want to come back to. So, Bubba, what do you think the sweet spot for Bobby Witt is, and do you think that he can improve? Because that is the ultimate question to his fantasy value. I don't think we have to question, like, is it better to take Mookie Betts or Bobby Witt Jr.? I think Mookie Betts, 10 out of 10 times, I'm going to take over him, even though there's a little positional stuff that goes on with Bobby Witt. And even though Mookie Betts is going to play some second base, you could have those arguments, but like Mookie Betts is a safer, better player. But where do you think the sweet spot is? And, is he going to improve in your eyes?
Yeah, he should. I think he will. His batting average should come back up. He should hopefully starts walking more like he did in the minors. The power is legit. It's just a comfort thing. I think in the bigs, we saw it kind of slow down a bit in the second half, but they're going to let him run wild. And I think he's got the 25 to 30 home. Like he could be a 30-30 dude. And so I think there's a lot to like there. It's just a matter, do you want to take the guy on his first season coming into a sophomore year or the steady thing like Bloomfield said? I like to compare him a lot to Bo Bichette. I think they're a very similar ball player. But Bichette's got a couple picks after him. So obviously different positions technically, but a lot of similar like profile skills. If you like Bichette, why wouldn't you like Bobby Witt type situation? At the same time, if you think O'Neal Cruz can maybe hit for a little bit better average, why not wait and take O'Neal Cruz if you want something like that? So it's just, I think what Bobby Witt brings to the table at his position, potentially, you can get elsewhere, if that makes sense, at other profiles. But
at
I
third
think
base.
I'm thinking if he's playing, he's third base shortstop. If you're drafting him for shortstop, if you're drafting him for third base, that's the only reason why he's going that high. I know a lot of guys are using the Machado argument, but you won't get the steals from Machado. So your initial question, yes, I think he can improve on the situation. Secondly, I'd rather take more of a sure thing in the early rounds, take my risk later.
So did you give a number, by the way? Was it like 15, 20? Like, what's his sweet spot? I don't know.
I said he could be, for draft, I think he's more of a...
Yeah, like, what's his number?
In the last week, he's got anywhere between 7 and 17. I think 15 to 20 is probably safe. I think I'd be more comfortable taking him in the middle of the second round, like a 15-teamer. That makes me feel better. Like, after Machado.
We had someone in the last mock stack, Witt and Freeman, at like the 12, 13. And I think that is perfect. Like, you have the highest floor player in the league, and probably Freddie Freeman, along with your risk with Bobby Witt at the top. I think that's a great stack.
That's the prettiest transition that you've ever done as well, because my question was going to be centered around Bobby Witt and Freddie Freeman. That was the pin I wanted to take, because I think there's a secondary big question that we can have, and it's about stolen bases. That's the big thing we're all wondering is, what, there's going to be an uptick. Okay, cool. Where is that uptick going to lie? Okay, we have to kind of battle that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, Buckaroo. All night.
Where do you want to draft them? And I think that's a big question. I agree. Freddie Freeman, like, I want to have on teams. And I love the Witt and Freeman stack. But if you have to decide between them, you are sacrificing the stolen bases. Even though Freeman stole a few last year, you're sacrificing the stolen bases. It's probably a net wash on homers. You're going to get better run in RBI with Freddie Freeman and batting average. So let's just, for argument's sake, say that Freddie Freeman gets 3 of the 5 categories. But that one category is dramatically in favor of Bobby Witt. That, do you not prioritize Bloomfield, the stolen bases early on in drafts with a guy like Bobby Witt at a premium position? You don't get those stolen bases at third base except for two players. You prioritize getting those stolen bases. I know you don't, because you said you want Freeman over him, but like, does that come into play when you're considering both of those players, the safety of Freeman versus the huge, huge steal advantage in Bobby Witt at a bad position?
I don't even know. So I'll push back. Like, I don't even know if yes, the steal advantage is big, but Freddie Freeman did steal 13 bases last year.
Yeah.
And in 2022, that could be 15 to 20. I mean, we don't really know, but I would also say, yes, I'll give you that Witt has a big advantage in steals. I think Freddie Freeman has just as massive an advantage in batting average. I think Freddie Freeman has 50 points of batting average on Bobby Witt, which is just massive, and then runs an RBI in that lineup. So I think Freddie Freeman has, and I'll give you power is probably a wash, I think 3 categories of a major advantage over Witt compared to just one that Witt has over Freeman. I'm not thinking too hard about it.
I would also put large amount of money that he does not steal 13 bases or higher this year. A 33. I would put the most amount of money I could find that he does not repeat his stolen base number this coming year.
With the new rules, even with 80% or whatever up. I mean, I think that's all a lot of the pitcher still adjusting to everything. And I think
nothing is not going to steal. Just right. You get older and stuff like that. Okay, so Bubba, same thing. It's like the prioritization of stolen bases. We know they're going to come up. Everyone doesn't know, is it going to come from the middle? Is it going to come from the top end guys? That's a big question. At the end of the day, we still need them. So like, you know, if Bobby Witt is in that mid second round, Freddie Freeman is safer, but what's the angle of Freddie Freeman versus Bobby Witt, especially considering those stolen bases?